This message comes from NPR sponsor, Hulu. Based on shocking true events, the new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, tells the story of a savage murder in a small town. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays only on Hulu.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. Hey, Marjorie Taylor Greene, forget about the deep state. Worry about the deep voice. I'm Bill Curtis, and here is your host, a man whose middle name is not Danger, Peter Daniel Sagal.
Thank you, Bill, and thanks as always to our fake audience, who frankly I'm getting so reliant on that now I play their applause when I successfully get dressed every day. You know what we need right now? Some shaggy affability, which is why we are delighted to be talking to actor Owen Wilson later on in this show. But right now, it's your turn to crash our little party. The number to call is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter. This is Natalia Romero calling from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Hey, Natalia. I happen to love St. Paul. It's one of my favorite places. I lived there for a while, or at least in the area. What do you do there?
I'm a high school choir director.
Oh, my gosh. I love music teachers in general. That must be something that's rather difficult these days because you can't get together, right?
Yeah, we're online, but we're making it work. We had a concert last week that was all virtual. I think I aged about 10 years, but we're still singing.
I bet. Well, thank you for doing that important work. Natalia, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, it's a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning and the host of the new podcast Real Good from Stitcher. It's Faith Saley.
Hi, Natalia.
Hey, Faith.
Next, it's a writer and actor who can be seen in season 4 of Search Party, currently streaming on HBO Max. It's Peter Gross.
Hello.
Hey, Peter.
And making her debut on our panel, it's the host of the Scam Goddess podcast on Earwolf and a commentator on ABC's The Con. Say hello to Lacey Mosley.
Hey, Natalia.
Hey.
Natalia, welcome to the show. You're going to play Who's Bill This Time? Bill Curtis is going to read you three quotations from this week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you will win our prize. Any voice from our show you might choose on your voicemail. Are you ready to play?
Yeah.
All right, Natalia. Your first quote is a tech CEO describing his management technique.
I constantly remind our employees to be afraid, to wake up every morning terrified.
Well, that philosophy worked out well for him. He is stepping down from being CEO of his company. He is the world's richest person. Who is it?
Jeff Bezos.
Yes, Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos is stepping down as Amazon CEO. He will now be executive chair, which coincidentally is the last thing I ordered from Amazon. He apparently was feeling, you know, restless and bored. Sometimes it feels like there just aren't any industries left to undermine.
What does he want them to be afraid of? Not making him enough money? That's so, like...
No, he actually wrote that in a letter to his board back in like 1998 when he was just starting out, when he was just destroying bookstores as opposed to the entire retail sector. And
wow.
Apparently what he meant was he didn't want them to get complacent, right? He didn't want them to just rest on their laurels.
Are you sure? I feel like he meant he didn't wanted them... He wanted them to count how long it took them to use the bathroom because somebody's watching. Daddy Jeff is watching.
I have such doubts about this step down. This is like when Putin wasn't president anymore and that other guy, Dmitry Medvedev, was president. Mm-hmm. And Putin was like, I'll just sit over here. You can do it. I'm not. I won't be secretly running everything.
Also, this... It feels like a setup. So now whoever does all the evil stuff, Bezos won't be in the news anymore. It won't be his face. It'll be whoever his fall guy is.
Well, his fall guy, his name is Andy Jassy. And he just sounds like a fabulous Broadway choreographer, doesn't he? It's Andy Jassy, everybody. Give me some more Jassy. Jassy hands.
It's going to be Jassy hands. That's what he's going to say. Jassy I want hands. All my employees to be constantly thinking about Jassy hands.
Do you know how much he's worth?
He is worth somewhere in the neighborhood of $110 billion last I looked. But
I thought it was $195. I mean, it could have easily gone up $85
billion. The time we've been talking. I know.
I can't count. I mean, I got on TikTok and someone did it with rice and I was like, ooh, lots of rice.
He has a pile of rice. All right. Here is your next quote. It's from someone coming back to their job after a long furlough.
I was rusty.
That person was one of many in their industry saying they forgot little things like where the windshield wipers are and how to land. What's the job?
A pilot?
Yes, pilot. A new report says airline pilots are reporting a lot of mishaps and flying errors due to rustiness from COVID-19 furloughs. They haven't been doing it in so long, they've forgotten how. It is so nice, though, to have something to worry about flying other than catching coronavirus on the plane. Recent flight records indicate that pilots have made mistakes like forgetting to release the parking brake or not activating anti-icing systems. So far, it's been all pretty minor stuff, but you should definitely worry if you're on a flight and the pilot comes out and asks, is there a pilot on this plane?
I hope flight attendants haven't gotten rusty, though, at you know, making you feel guilty asking for, you know, a refill when they fill like half your cup up with soda and the other half is bubbles, or asking for another bag of pretzels. I hope they've perfected that.
Well, a lot
that.
Of them were hopefully being rude in their spare time.
Oh, they've been, yeah, they've been practicing their scorn at home.
I didn't know we could say we got rusty at things. If I get pulled over, I'm using that. I'm like, I'm so sorry, officer. My speed skills got rusty. I was going 80 in a school zone. Oh, my brake. So sorry.
I forgot you weren't supposed to run over people. It's been so long.
Oops.
Natalia, here is your last quote.
Do it at work. Apologize to no one.
That was the New York Times encouraging people to just give in and do what when they get sleepy at work?
Take a nap?
Yeah, take a nap. Napping is good for you, it turns out. Who knew? 5-minute micronaps actually help your mental acuity. Try one the next time you're driving.
Isn't a Zoom business meeting a series of 5-minute micronaps anyway?
According to research, napping improves your mood, increases your productivity, and the amount of drool you can collect on your shoulder. Once again, science breaks new ground. It's like, tired during the day? Try napping.
Prescription lay down. I love it. Innovation.
I don't know about you, but do you find it far more tempting to take a nap now that we're all working from home? Because my couch is over there and my bed is right upstairs. It's so much more convenient than having
and
to go
into the
bathroom.
And you're wearing your pajamas.
And I'm wearing my, often indeed, wearing my pajamas. And it's so much more convenient than, you know, like what you have to do at work, which is to go into the bathroom and go into a stall and try to find a comfortable way to lean your head against the wall. I mean,
I
know.
Definitely napped like that when I had like an internship when I was in college and I couldn't fall asleep on time because I had to be out late having fun with my friends, and yes. I couldn't,
it was important.
You know, I was medically unable to.
But Peter, you actually sat on a toilet and
yeah,
slept.
I would just go in there and just go sit on the toilet and lean up against the side of the stall and sleep for, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes or something, and then come back. And I was very not integral to this company's working, so they did not miss me.
Wait, Peter, this was back when you were a pilot, right?
Yes, I was working for now defunct Eastern Airlines, but yeah, I was a pilot. And I was just going to the bathroom. I mean, there would always be passengers banging on the door.
People are saying, scientists are saying that it's important to like take a break when you're working from home. It's sort of like your nap at home could be your coffee break at work, but make sure you don't confuse them. Don't do them both because you just hate it when you drink a cup of coffee and then you're lying awake all nap. Bill, how did Natalia do in our quiz?
She got 3 bullets on the hit parade as a music teacher. You did great. Great.
Natalia, congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm a huge fan of the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And congrats on the good work you do. And keep at it. Hopefully be back with your kids soon.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Bye-bye. Hey, panel, it is now time for you to answer some questions from the week's news. Peter, there is a new exclusive wine club you can join. For $100 a month, you'll receive 3 bottles of wine handpicked by the expert sommeliers from where?
From some prison where they make wine in the toilet.
I'd buy that.
Welcome.
This is a Cell Block C 2019
San Quentin Wine Club.
I really taste the bread.
There's blood in this.
That mouthfeel has some blood in it. It's got a tang.
Is that ramen? Is that is it beef? It tastes beef ramen.
I believe there's a small shiv in mine. You know what's great is I don't want to know the real answer. Do you ever do that on this show where we just don't know the real answer and we just pretend it's prison wine? Let's see. Can I have a hint?
Sure. I've always wondered what, you know, the Chardonnay tastes like on at low altitude.
Oh, planes?
Yes, airplane. This is the American Airlines Wine Club.
Oh, God.
Or as they call it, Flagship Cellars. They're calling it an at-home wine experience. It's definitely not an attempt to unload all the wine they've got piled up since no one is flying anymore. You can buy wine from American Airlines, which is what you think of when you think fine wines. You can buy it by the case, or as I said, in a 3-bottle monthly subscription. You might be disappointed, though, when you order the wine from an airline and it shows up and it's just like a half-full plastic glass.
You know, if it was United Airlines, I would get it. I just don't like American Airlines wine.
Yeah, my palate's more Delta.
My first course is Emirates. Then I have, for a salad, I have Aer Lingus.
For an amuse-bouche, I go for Spirit because they really give you nothing.
Spirit Airlines is sending you like a bottle of moonshine from their toilet.
They give you prison wine.
They give you prison wine.
Also, the airline doesn't have types. When they offer you wine, they say red or white. And yeah, so you're just exactly. getting, this is oh, a wow. nice you, red.
You must pay for business class because what we get is wine. That's it.
It's just like called wine. Every bottle's just
back
called
where
wine.
I sit.
It's very strange to me how people, because I have frequent flyer miles for a few different airlines and stuff. It's interesting when they send you emails, like they clearly think that somebody has like a personal affinity to American Airlines to the point where they'll be like, I had an amazing wine that one time on American Airlines. Like, it's not like they have this like secret, you know.
Peter, you are playing. Okay. I love American Airlines. And all I want to do is feel like I'm in a chair that I can't really lean back a little bit all the time. I love American Airlines.
Coming up, our panelists are down with PPE in our Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
If you're into science, but you need a break from the coronavirus, NPR Shortwave has your back. Whether we're talking about how scientists measure Mount Everest or spiders that hang out underwater, we promise you'll have fun and learn something. Subscribe to Shortwave, the daily science podcast from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Lacey Mosley, Faith Saley, and Peter Gross. And here again is your host, representing 50% of the Peters on this week's show, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you are on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey, this is John Schmidt, originally from Wichita, Kansas, but calling in from beautiful, snowy Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome to Chicago. When did you move here?
So I am a graduate student in public policy at the University of Chicago. So I've been here about a year and a half now.
So are you going to be, do you plan to like being a politician or a high paid political consultant, something like that?
I would say no to politician, but high paid political consultant doesn't sound half bad when you say it.
Well, good luck with that. And welcome to the show, John. You're going to play our game in which you must try to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is John's topic?
Stay safe out there.
PPE, personal protective equipment, still very much a part of our lives. We wear it everywhere except over our noses for some reason. Our panelists are going to tell you about a different surprising use of personal protective equipment in the news. Pick the one who's telling the truth. You'll win the Wait Waiter of your choice in your voicemail. You ready to play?
Let's do it.
First, let's hear from Faith Saley.
Earlier this week, Allegheny General Hospital in Pittsburgh received a massive donation of PPE from a masked man dressed in Elizabethan garb, calling himself Shakespeare in a Shield. That man is also known as John Morahan, head of the theater department at nearby Point Park University. But why did this professor even possess 750 sets of hospital-grade protection gear, which he calls rehearsal garments? Turns out, Morahan teaches a class called Articulation and Projection 101, in which every student must perform a Shakespearean soliloquy with the goal of enunciating as vigorously as possible. The rest of the class, as audience, dons face shields and medical isolation gowns to protect them from the flying spittle that comes out of the actors' mouths as they act very, very hard and loud. It's like being in the splash zone at SeaWorld, only with saliva. I call it diction juice, Morahan chuckles. I always say the wetter your audience, the better your performance.
College theater department uses PPE to protect themselves from each other's spit while performing. Your next story of PPE in the NEWS comes from Lacey Mosley.
The Foo Fighters are set to release their first new album in 4 years, and getting here has been a journey. During the recording of the album, several members of the band sustained injuries which can only be described as metal neck, rock and roll elbow, and mosh pit secretions. 52-year-old frontman David Grohl suffered the worst of it. A quote, I headbanged forward, bumped into the mic, and knocked a tooth clean out. I was shredding my face off, and literally, part of my face came off. After multiple short stints in the ER and the Denny's Early Bird All-You-Can-Eat buffet, the band has become aware that their fans might not be able to physically handle their music anymore either. So, in anticipation of their fans' desire to thrash, rock out, and fight Foo when they hear their music, anyone who buys or streams their new album will be offered official Foo Fighters helmets, neck braces, mouth guards, and adult diapers. Foo is not available for comment at this time.
The Foo Fighters giving out protective equipment to protect their fans, or aging fans, from the dangers of headbanging. Your last story of protective gear comes from Peter Gross.
The pandemic has left many of us depressed, anxious, and looking for ways to self-soothe. Some of us drown our sorrows in alcohol, while others stress eat sugary, fattening desserts. Thanks to Oakshire Microbrewery in Eugene, Oregon, we can now do both at once. Their latest specialty beer is Mango Raspberry Cheesecake Smoothie Sour Ale. It's a Shangri-La of alcohol and dessert, like drinking Bananas Foster without letting the brandy burn off, or pouring a margarita on your key lime pie. You're probably thinking, problem solved. I don't need the vaccine. Hook me up to a cheesecake beer IV and call me in September. But unfortunately, the company had to issue a voluntary recall of Mango Raspberry Cheesecake Smoothie Sour Ale this week when they discovered that some cans showed, quote, visible signs of re-fermentation that could cause them to explode. It's too delicious to be contained by mere aluminum. I'm sorry, I meant to say it's too dangerous to be contained by mere aluminum. Oakshire gave very specific disposal instructions on their website. This is directly from the website. If you have mango cheesecake in your possession, please do not open it. Do not attempt to return it. Before disposing of any cans of mango cheesecake, please put on protective gloves and a face shield or goggles and a mask. Place all remaining cans in a closed box and place immediately in a secured garbage container or dumpster outside, unquote. We here at Wait Wait want you to know that if you're listening to this and you already drank a can of mango cheesecake, you are not, we repeat, not in danger of exploding yourself. But anyone who comes near you in the next few days should wear protective gloves and a face shield just to be safe.
All right. Here are your choices. We heard about some PPE, some protective gear in the news this week. Was it from Faith Saley? The equipment used by a theater department to protect themselves from each other's spit as they expectorated. From Lacey, the Foo Fighters giving out protective equipment with their new album so their aging fans can protect themselves from, you know, injuries endemic to music listening. Or from Peter Gross, gear to protect yourself from a particular beer. Which of these is the real story of PPE in the news?
I think it's got to be the poisonous beer. Science has gone too far, I think.
Okay, well, to bring you all the correct answer, we spoke to a journalist who reported on the real story.
A beer produced in Eugene, Oregon was recalled because they discovered that it can explode.
That was Sarah Crow, a senior editor at Galvanized Media, talking about the beer so bad you need PPE just to throw it away. Congratulations, John. You got it right. You're in a point for Peter Gross. You've won our prize, the voice of your choice in your voicemail.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well done. And we'll look for you, you know, cynically selling your soul someday to get some nobody elected to high office.
Thank you. Please do it.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
And now the game where we invite on people we're really fond of and make them doubt that. It's called Not My Job. A lot of people decide to write screenplays with their college roommate, but most people are not college roommates with Wes Anderson. Owen Wilson co-wrote the movie Bottle Rocket, which starred him and his brother Luke, and went on to become a star, making movies with Wes Anderson like The Royal Tenenbaums and other movies like Wedding Crashers, Night at the Museum, and now Bliss. Owen Wilson, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's a pleasure. It's an absolute joy to talk to you. You've been, let's see, Bottle Rocket was 1996. You've been making movies for about 25 years now.
Yeah.
When people like see you, and I'm sure you're used to people's faces lighting up, like, oh my God, I know who that is. And they come up to you, what do you expect them to ask you about? Have you like learned like, oh yeah, this guy's going to be a Wedding Crashers fan. This guy's going to be, I don't know, Royal Tenenbaums fan. Do you have any idea?
Sometimes you can kind of, I sort of feel like I can, you know, sense that someone's coming up, maybe what, if they're going to be sort of like a, you know, maybe a fan of Armageddon or Anaconda, Bottle Rocket. Yeah. I remember Ben Stiller saying that sometimes would know even before the person got to him that the person was going to say, all my friends tell me I look like you. And it was never necessarily someone that you would, you know, say.
You would be happy to be in their company.
I definitely have had that a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I do know why this is, but seeing you just makes me happy.
Really?
You have that effect. Yeah, because I love your movies like all sane people, and you generally play very charming, lovely people. It's great to be around. So I'm sort of having that reaction to you right now.
Oh, good. I appreciate that.
Is that what, I was wondering kind of about that. Is that what people expect from you if they meet you, that you'll sort of be goofy and affable and charming in the way you are mostly in the movies?
Well, I don't know if I, you know, if that was the scouting report, if I'd love to lead off, you know, hopefully pleasant. And yeah, Luke, my brother, I feel like is a little bit, sometimes we would call him, would be out, and we nicknamed him Border Patrol because he seemed to be a little bit more wary of people kind of coming up and stuff.
Is there a kind of role that you'd like to play that you don't get offered because of people, what people think of you or how people sort of picture you?
I'm working on this Marvel thing with Tom Hiddleston, and he quoted something the other day, and I was saying, oh, is that Shakespeare? And he said, yes, it's from Hamlet. And I said, if you played Hamlet, and he had with Kenneth Branagh, and, you know, what an incredible, rewarding experience that was for him. And then, you know, because he's such a polite guy, after sort of that, there's a little bit of a pause. And I said, have you ever played Hamlet? And I thought that was such a nice thing that someone would, you know, believe. I meet a lot of people that, God, I'd love to see him playing Hamlet. That's what we really missing.
I would love to see you play Hamlet.
Would pay money.
I would love to see Owen Wilson do Shakespeare.
Well, maybe this is kind of the feedback I need. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. I think everyone listening to NPR wants to hear Owen Wilson do Shakespeare. Yeah.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I found out something this week that I did not know, which is that you're not in what was Wes Anderson's next movie, Rushmore, but you co-wrote it with him. And I was very impressed because that is perhaps one of my favorite movies ever.
Thank you.
There are so many movies, plays, books about oddballs in high school and the struggles they have fitting in. Rushmore is the greatest of that genre. They should have stopped making them after Rushmore. But it makes me wonder, was that you or was it Wes? Is like the strange guy who never quite fit in because of his interests?
Probably a little bit of a combination. You know, I didn't end up at military school in New Mexico my junior year because I was just an outstanding and I did sometimes have a tendency to believe that I was going to do much better on a test than I would end up doing. So I was very confident sometimes going into a test, and the results were not matched by that.
Yeah. So are you, I mean, I get the sense that you're somewhat competitive. Is this true?
I almost feel like you're like setting me up because I literally just got done playing tennis doubles.
Oh, wow.
Really competitive and really intense. Like, and I don't know, from like growing up in sort of a Lord of the Flies type situation with, you know, the three boys, I really get into competition. So, it's really fun. Yeah. Have you guys heard of pickleball?
No. Pickleball is like, yes. It's played on like a miniature tennis court of some
kind. Yeah. And I sort of, you know, maybe turned off by the name a little bit and had kind of resisted it, even though everyone was saying it's so much fun, and then started playing just a couple of weeks ago. And I felt the first time I walked on the court, there isn't a steep learning curve. Like, I was already like a pretty strong player.
Sure. You're already elite level. That's a nice feeling, I have to admit.
Feel that.
What happens when you lose? How do you feel? How do you react when you lose?
I'm not a sore loser. Like, I'm not one of those people that's there are people that are so competitive they really can't compete because they can't take losing it. And I'm the type that I would rather play somebody who's a little bit better than me and lose, because if I do win eventually, or, you know, every once in a while, it's so exciting. So I'm not a bad. Although, I mean, even as I'm saying, I guess I have thrown a tennis racket here.
Sure. And that was during a Scrabble loss.
And scrap the tennis racket from the wall.
Wait, Owen, do you play with those guys that you were just playing with often? Do you guys have a rivalry?
Yeah, we do play quite a bit. And the team sort of switched. For a while, it was me and this guy, Frank, who actually, when he hit a good shot, because he was playing against me today, and he hit like a winner, and then he yelled out, "That's how you pepper a steak."
That's a competitive
person. I heard it and immediately was like, okay, this is going to come back in this match. And it definitely did. I ended up saying four times. And
no, do you, so when you hit a winner, you're like, no, that's how you pepper a steak.
That's how
it was. More like, now I'm putting on some herb butter. Right. You're like, up the steak.
Sides. The big onion rings.
Yes.
Well, Owen Wilson, it is really fun to talk to you, but we have in fact invited you here to play a game that this time we're calling
Wilson Meet Will's Son.
And by that, Owen, we mean Will Smith's son, Jaden Smith. So Jaden, if people are not familiar, is also an actor as well as a fashion icon, a musician. He's a personality. He's an influencer. Answer two out of three questions correctly about Jaden Smith, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, the voice of anyone they might choose for their voicemail. Bill, who is Owen Wilson playing for?
Lisa Robinson of Woodstock, Georgia.
First question. Now, Jaden is known as a fashion icon. For example, which of these did he wear to the wedding of Kim Kardashian to Kanye West? A cloth diaper with an oversized diamond pin. B, a white Batman suit complete with mask. Or C, his very own custom-made Vera Wang wedding gown.
Next question. Hold on. I remember now my SAT class. Good not to guess. They said it was better just to next question. Okay, I'm going to say C.
You're going to say that Jaden Smith commissioned his own wedding gown from Vera Wang and wore it to Kim Kardashian's wedding.
Well, no, I'm not. It was, now when you put it like that,
so, sounds ludicrous.
I'm going to say A.
You're going to say for A, the cloth diaper. No, it was the Batman suit.
God.
There he is. You can find him. White Batman suit complete with the armor and the abs.
Oh, geez.
All right. You still have two more chances. Not a problem here. Jaden is also known for his provocative and sometimes philosophical Twitter feed. Which of these is a real Twitter thought from Jaden? A, how do we know that our eyes aren't closed all the time and the inside of our eyelids just look like the world? B, if a cupcake falls from a tree, how far away will it be from down? Hashtag Jupiter. C, if we're descended from monkeys, how come we don't see them when we look up? Hashtag hashtag.
Could it be B?
Yes, Owen, it could be B. Congratulations. That's what it is. We have no idea what he means.
It's bizarre.
It is very strange, but you can get more of these. Well, as a matter of fact, we have
one more. Well, he just gained a Twitter follower. I want to hear more things like that. That sounds very interesting.
So if you get this right, you win. Even though he's an international superstar, Jaden is sometimes himself starstruck. Which of these was a real tweet he once sent about an interaction with a celebrity? A, Doris Day is my musical inspiration, and I know one day she'll call me back. Mm-hmm. B, I ran into Emo Phillips at the mall and touched his hair, and it felt like happiness. Or C, I saw Owen Wilson one time from a distance, and we just stared at each other, then his car drove off.
I'm going to have to go with C.
And you'd be right. That's what he tweeted.
There we go.
And it was an It was in April 2015. Do you remember locking eyes locking with Jaden Smith somewhere before you drove off?
Was that who that was?
Bill, how did Owen Wilson do in our quiz?
2 out of 3. That's how you pepper a steak, Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson's new movie, Bliss, is available now on Amazon Prime. It is a head trip and well worth your time. Watch it. Owen Wilson, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
Take care, Owen. Thank you so much for your time. Bye-bye. Bye. In just a minute, faster, higher, stronger, Florida-er. It's our listener limerick challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on the air. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
This message comes from Capital One, presenting sponsor of the 2024 Tiny Desk Contest. Earlier this year, unsigned musicians from around the country submitted their original songs for the 10th annual Tiny Desk Contest. The panel of judges are hard at work picking standout entries, and you can follow along and choose your favorite videos as well. The winner gets to play their very own Tiny Desk concert, then headline a tour with NPR Music this summer. Want to come along for the ride? Visit tinydeskcontest.npr.org to learn more, then check out the Venture X card from presenting sponsor Capital One. Earn unlimited 2x miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Easy Cater, committed to helping companies solve food. From employee meal plans to on-site staffing to concierge ordering support. With corporate accounts, nationwide restaurant coverage, and payment by invoice. EasyCater.com.
If you're never quite sure how to answer the question,
where are you from?
NPR's Rough Translation might be the podcast for you.
Yes, finally, someone else.
Give us your accents and your origin stories, your cross-cultural misfits, yearning to just be. And listen to Rough Translation on NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis. We're playing this week with Peter Gross, Lacey Mosley, and Faith Seeley. And here again is your host, the man whose first and last names are both palindromes if you spell them weird, Petep Segas.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute, Bill channels South Carolina Senator Lindsey Grime in our Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Faith, yes. Scientists have developed a new strain of spinach that can do what?
Okay, I actually know this one, and it's email. Spinach that can email.
Yes, it's spinach that can email you. Now, we should be clear. They don't send the kind of emails you might expect. Hi, Peter. Why haven't you been eating me lately? I hope you answer this time. I'm so good for you. Engineers at MIT have used nanotechnology to engineer spinach plants that can detect certain compounds in the ground, and then they emit a signal that triggers an email to scientists containing the spinach's findings. Then after that, you start getting a ton of spam from the carrots.
Even though you just explained it very simply and perhaps accessibly, I do not understand one bit of that.
Yeah. The spinach detects what, like a mineral or something? Because you did say it will send an email with the spinach's findings. You did say that as if the spinach was doing research.
The spinach apparently goes through some sort of chemical change when it detects some sort of substances in the soil, because it's been engineered that way. And then that chemical chain triggers another kind of device that eventually leads to a computer that sends you an email.
Yes.
Now, this has been used before. They've actually used it to detect explosives like landmines. It's great, though. What it means is the next time you want to get out of a meeting, you can say, oh, wait, the spinach just emailed. There's a bomb.
Right. Sent from my dirt phone. Also, yeah. I thought the spinach would be sending messages like, help, Popeye is hurting me. Like, that's what I wanted.
Exactly. Like, I'm not the superfood you want. Go try some kale.
Right. Stop putting me in smoothies. Like, I wanted opinions. But that's good, I guess, technology. We can't just go out and look at the spinach anymore. We need the spinach to email us.
Does it seem like you're going to get, like, 1,000 emails, and then when it's done, you only have, like, one email?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a great spinach joke, guys. Because they just
totally
seems
it.
Like it's going to be a lot.
No, it's when you cook it. I get it.
It gets very small.
Lacey, as work from home blurs together the days of the week, more and more people are taking part in a Swedish tradition where on Wednesdays you do what?
A Swedish tradition where on Wednesdays you clog?
I wouldn't put it by the Swedes.
Good guess.
Put aside an entire day for clogging.
No working.
Everybody gets their wood heels out and they hit the streets.
I like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Udenhagen? Yeah.
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 Udenhagen, the actress? Yeah.
Udenhagen from Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf? That
we
Udenhagen?
Do exercises, yeah.
It's like Udenhagen?
Yeah, we do Udenhagen, yes.
None of these are correct.
No, Peter, I'm right. No. No.
To my knowledge, nobody gets up and celebrates Udenhagen every Wednesday.
She needs a
Sweden.
Holiday. This
she
is
does, Udenhagen Day.
This is another one where we don't need the real answer. Hey, this is too much fun having the wrong answer. I'm enjoying this.
Meanwhile, back to Wednesdays in Sweden. So this is a Swedish tradition. They're doing this on Wednesday to sort of brighten up the week. What do they do on Wednesday?
I'm going to say on Wednesdays they have happy hour.
You're awfully close. No, I'm going to give it to you because I don't know how I could get you closer. Basically, what they do is they decide to pretend that Wednesday is the weekend. That's what they do. They party like it's the weekend. It's called Lill Lördag, which means Little Saturday. So in Sweden, on Wednesday nights.
That's like a rapper name, too.
It
Lill Lördag.
Yeah, the weekend.
Yeah.
Lill Lördag.
And Lill Lördag.
Yeah.
Lill Lördag is playing the Super Bowl, isn't he?
Exactly. Anyway, on Wednesday nights, people have a special meal in Sweden. They drink cocktails. They talk about how Wednesday Night Live used to be so much better.
That's basically like everybody in Sweden is in college or in their 20s where they just drink for no reason on Wednesday night and then have to go to work hungover.
Right. They're like, we've all decided to be hungover on Thursdays.
Thursday is called We Don't Get Anything Done Thursdays. I can hardly wait until the weekend's arrived. Forget about my job and really come alive. I'm a rockin'. Yeah, yeah, I'm a rockin'. Yeah, yeah, I'm a rockin' and a rollin' around the jukebox Saturday night.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. And our Wait Wait Virtual Comedy Club with Maz Jobrani, Mo Rocca, Helen Hong, Joel Kim Booster, and Maeve Higgins live is coming up on March 2nd. Tickets and more info at nprpresents.org. Join us. We know you're not doing anything else. Hi, you're on Wait Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Tess from Iowa City, Iowa.
Oh, I love Iowa City. It's where the university is. Yeah, what do you do there?
I'm a graduate student in poetry at the university.
Oh, wow. You are at the famous Iowa Writers Workshop, right?
Yeah.
That's exciting. And once, of course, you get accepted into the Iowa Writers Workshop, you're guaranteed a rich and successful career in poetry.
Yeah.
You'll be on America's Next Top Poet on the CW. Yeah,
that would be
hosted
awesome.
By Tyra Banks.
Well, Tess, welcome to the show. Bill Curtis is going to read you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly into the limericks, you'll be a winner. Ready to play?
Yeah.
Here is your first limerick.
You know, Tampa loves synchronized swim kicks, and Japan doesn't want no old gym tricks. Gold and silver belongs where people are bronzed. So let Florida host the...
Olympics,
yes.
Wow.
There are some doubts it'll be safe to host the Olympics in Tokyo this year, but don't worry. Florida is offering to take the games instead. State officials say they've gotten COVID under control using the incredibly effective precaution of just pretending it doesn't exist. And with Disney's Epcot Center, the Olympics can still be in Japan, Mexico, Malaysia, and Fantasia. Actually, a senior Florida official actually went to meet with the Olympic Committee, the International Olympic Committee, and the committee responded by immediately burning all their clothes and sterilizing the meeting room.
Okay,
was
what
it
is
an
a
alligator?
Senior... I was about to say, what is a senior Florida official? I'm a senior Florida official. You just show up. Whoever gets to the mic first, you get to talk.
Now, Florida is not discouraged. They're working hard to clear the state entirely of COVID by having everyone die before the opening ceremonies. Yeah. Here is your next limerick.
In mom's tummy, there's plenty of room. I recorded my own baby boom. Now it's toddler produced. Give the bass a big boost. Here's some tracks that I laid in the
womb.
Yes, womb. Indeed. Now, if you were annoyed by, say, Billie Eilish for putting out a hit song when she was just 14, you were going to hate musician Luca Yupanqui, who recorded an album in the womb.
Oh, my God.
Luca's parents recorded her sounds in utero using these five-hour meditation sessions and then using, quote, biosonic technology, transcribed the vibrations via synthesizers into music. It's as if they said to themselves, posting baby pictures on Instagram, just not annoying enough. It's so sad this baby has already gone like full rock star, burnout, rock bottom. She stumbles around, she drools, she babbles incoherently.
I'm going to start recording the sound of my sperm, and my wife is going to record the sound of her eggs, her ovaries, and we'll do a duet. We'll do Islands in the Stream.
It was adorable. After baby Luca was born, her father cut the umbilical cord, and she immediately started in on her Unplugged album.
Oh, nice. That's nice.
Here is your last limerick.
In Australia, we don't fear a thing. So to Google a lawsuit we bring. If they threaten to leave, we won't quiver or grieve. We'll use Microsoft's search engine.
Bing.
Yes, Bing. Bing. Google has threatened to pull out of Australia thanks to a law requiring them to pay for the news they post online. And the prime minister called Google's bluff. He said that he had had a talk with the head of Microsoft about the entire country switching to their search engine, Bing. Microsoft says they're up to the challenge, saying they can meet the needs of the entire Central European country from Vienna to Innsbruck. Oh, no, wait, that's Austria. Dang it, I should not have Binged this.
What does Jeeves have to say about this?
Exactly. Has anybody asked Jeeves his feelings?
No, Australia, no thank you.
All I can say in an Australian accent is laserdisc and no. I don't know why they have that R.
Wait a minute,
no.
I'm sorry.
Ooh, wait, did you say laserdisc again. That sounded really good.
Laserdisc.
How did it come to be that one of the words you can say in a legitimate Australian accent is laserdisc?
I once dated an Australian who was in computer technology.
Anyway, the Google Bing feud is extra confusing for Australians because the Google Bing is, of course, one of Australia's biggest rivers and also a mammal and also their favorite snack. Bill, how did Tess do in our quiz?
Perfect. She got them right.
Yay!
Yes, congratulations. And we'll look forward to you when you're a world-famous poet.
Thank
Take
you.
Take care, Tess. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Intuit QuickBooks. Small business masterminds have one thing in common, making their money work harder with a business bank account from QuickBooks Money that now earns 5% annual percentage yield, making your money work as hard as you do. That's how you business differently. Learn more at QuickBooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds in envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time. Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer is now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Faith has 2, Peter has 3, and Lacey has 3.
All right. Faith is in third place, so Faith, you're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill-in-the-blank. On Thursday, the House of Representatives voted to expel blank from 2 congressional committees.
Marjorie T. Greene.
Greene. For the first time in 2 months, blank hospitalizations in the U.S. fell below 100,000.
COVID.
Yeah. This week, Donald Trump dismissed a request to appear at his blank trial.
Impeachment.
Right. On Thursday, at-home DNA testing kit maker blank announced plans to become a publicly traded company.
Oh, 23andMe.
Right. On Monday, Elon Musk's private space company blank announced plans for an all-civilian mission.
SpaceX.
Right. On Tuesday, the latest launch from Elon Musk's private space company, SpaceX, blanked.
Oh, exploded. Crashed.
Yes. This week, residents in L.A. were shocked after a group of people changed the Hollywood sign to read blank.
Oh, Holly Boob.
Hollyboob, yes. Police arrested 6 people for sneaking onto Mount Lee and changing the giant Hollywood sign into a giant Hollyboob sign. They said it was to raise awareness for breast cancer, which is a really thoughtful lie. The vandals honestly did a pretty bad job, but it's still amazing that all those 5th grade boys were able to climb up that entire mountain.
They apparently didn't have any calculators to turn upside down. 8008. It's pretty amazing.
I saw it. It really was a very bad job.
It was a bad boob job. They botched it.
Yeah.
Bill, how did Faith do in our quiz?
Faith had 7 right for 14 more points. She now has a comfortable lead with 16.
All right. Lacey, you're new. I'll let you go next. Here you go. Fill in the blank. On Wednesday, Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell reached a power-sharing deal for the blank.
Senate?
Yeah. According to the Congressional Budget Office, the U.S. blank is expected to return to pre-pandemic levels by June.
Treasury.
No, the economy. After being sentenced over 2 years in prison, Alexei Navalny called Vladimir Putin blank.
Her boyfriend.
No, he called Vladimir Putin the poisoner of underpants. On Sunday, a storm hit some cities on the East Coast with over 2 feet of blank.
Snow.
Yes. This week, Bon Appetit had to pull a popular Instagram video on canning lobster because it turns out it might blank.
Harm lobsters?
No, not the lobsters. It might kill you, though. Okay. The video on canning lobster had a bunch of fun comments like, what a cool way to pass the time in lockdown. And hey, if you can lobster like this, you will get botulism. Safety concerns led to the video being removed from Instagram and Bon Appetit's website, which means you'll have to look elsewhere if you want to enjoy the delicious taste of old lobster served straight from the can. Bill, how did Lacey do in our quiz?
Bad.
She had 2 right for 4 more points. She now has 7, but Faith still has the lead with 16.
All right, Faith. How many, then, does Peter need to win?
7 to win.
Oh, my gosh. All right, Peter, here we go. This is for the game. Okay. On Wednesday, President Biden stood by his call for a $1.9 trillion blank.
It's a COVID relief package.
Yeah, after shutting down trades last week, Robinhood announced it would continue to limit sale and purchase of blank stocks.
GameStop stock.
Right. This week, Canada designated the alt-right group blank as a terrorist organization.
The fancy boys. Now the proud boys.
Right. On Tuesday, the White House said they were sending more blank doses directly to pharmacies.
Vaccination doses.
Yes. This week, police in France broke up a blank for violating coronavirus curfew laws.
A croissant-making party.
No, they broke up an 81-person orgy. Best known for playing Mark Twain in a one-man show for 50 years, actor blank passed away at 95.
Hal Holbrook.
Right, Hal Holbrook. In what was clearly an attempt to gain the title of most Florida man ever, this week police in Tampa arrested a man who blanked.
Tried to marry an alligator on a speedboat.
No, they arrested a man.
I don't know.
They arrested a man who called 911 at 4:20 a.m. to ask for a ride home and had a tattoo in the shape of Florida in the middle of his forehead.
Classic.
Oh, Charles Manson.
Yeah. The man called 911 to ask for a ride, which is not what 911 is for. The call came at 4:20 a.m. and when police caught up to him, they charged the man with misusing 911 and without even checking, possession of marijuana. But he really became the ultimate Florida man when his wife came to bail him out of jail and she was an alligator wearing a Disney World t-shirt.
Yes. See, I was close.
Bill, did Peter do well enough to win?
He got 5 right, 10 more points, total of 13. That means with 16 points, Faith is this week's champion.
And Faith, give us the catchphrase, you won.
And that's how you pepper a steak!
Yes! There you go.
In just a minute, we're going to ask our panelists to predict what will be the first big change the new CEO will make at Amazon. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Goedeker writes our limericks. Our public address announcer is Paul Friedman. Our house manager is Gianna Capodona. Our intern is Emma Choi. Our web guru is Beth Novi. BJ Lederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Jennifer Mills, Miles Dornbos, and Lillian King. Peter Gwynn is our private address announcer. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our business and ops manager is Colin Miller. Our production manager is Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog, and the executive producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will be the first big change the new guy makes at Amazon? Faith Saley.
Alexa will change her name to Bill and finally start swearing.
Peter Gross.
He's going to prove to the world that he's nothing like Jeff Bezos by buying a newspaper, fighting with the president, shaving his head, and getting a divorce.
And Lacey Mosley.
He's going to turn that arrow on the logo upside down from a smile to a frown because it's time to keep it real. Working at Amazon can't be trash. It's time to rebrand.
Hey, if any of that happens, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Faith Saley, Peter Gross, and Lacey Mosley. You did a great job. Welcome to our show, and thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. Hey, we're here for each other. We'll see you next week. This is NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Intuit QuickBooks. Small business masterminds have one thing in common, making their money work harder with a business bank account from QuickBooks Money that now earns 5% annual percentage yield, making your money work as hard as you do. That's how you business differently. Learn more at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds in envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Rosetta Stone, an expert in language learning for 30 years. Right now, NPR listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership to 25 different languages for 50% off. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me, and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on Black experiences. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.